shortwave, AM, FM, and the internet. This is PCJ. Yeah! It's now time for the Happy Station Show, produced and presented by Keith Perrone.
Oh, no!
Well, hello everyone, hello everywhere, welcome again to another edition of the International Happy Station. I'm Keith Parent. It's nice to have you with me for the next 55 minutes. 55, your lucky number. Anyway, we actually have a jam-packed program today. As you know, last week at the beginning of the show, we were talking about the World Cup, and we're going to spend a few moments talking about the World Cup again. Before we do that, let's kick off with a piece of music. Here's the Jaap Valkoff Orchestra with the Freddie Dyke Singers and Holland, My Land by the Sea on the International Happy Station.
You'll be in my heart.
so beautiful. Well, life's so wonderful. Our land, my land by the sea. My land by the sea.
Holland, My Land by the Sea, performed by Jaap Valkoff and the Freddie Dyke Singers. Now, the reason we played that today to open up the program is because, as you may or may not know, the Netherlands have made it to the World Cup final, which is going to be played on Sunday. And when the game was on between the Netherlands and Uruguay, it was around 2:30 in the morning here in Taiwan, and we went to a local pub to watch the game. And I have to tell you, it was very unique because you may or may not know this, but there's not exactly a large Dutch community here in Taiwan. It's probably around maybe 500, and around 30 of them were at this one bar. And they got very excited. So it was a rather, rather interesting match. Now, there was another match played on Wednesday, and that was a match between Germany and Spain. Now, a lot of people predicted that Spain would win because of an octopus. An octopus by the name of Paul, who has sort of been predicting all the games for Germany. And sure enough, just before the game between Spain and Germany, Paul, the octopus, chose Spain. And Spain, on Sunday, will be playing against the Netherlands. And then, of course, we'll find out who will be winning the 2010 World Cup, which has been going on in South Africa. Now, some of you will be listening to this program, and the winner will obviously have been chosen. But for those who haven't heard yet, Germany is out, Spain is in, Holland is in, Uruguay is out, and the Netherlands will be playing Spain on Sunday. So it should be a very interesting match indeed. And I know that some people have said it's a little bit too difficult to call. Now, myself, personally, I would like to see the Netherlands win. If that happens, to be honest, I'm a little doubtful that it will. I have a feeling that Spain might come out victorious. But we'll have to wait and see until Sunday. Anyway, time for a little bit more music. We had a bit of something Dutch. Now for something a little bit Spanish. It's called, Spanish Eyes, which is actually a song composed by a German. That's right, it was actually composed by Bert Comfort. But here it is performed by the Baja Marimba Band on the International Happy Station. Spanish Eyes, performed by the Baja Marimba Band. You're listening to the International Happy Station. Our website is pcjmedia.com. Just at www.pcjmedia.com. And while you're there, you can also download this program, all the other programs from PCJ Media, and tune in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to PCJ Radio. Now, if you haven't been to the homepage in a while, you'll see a Wi-Fi radio, which is a Wi-Fi radio that we're coming out with here at PCJ very, very soon. But before we do, we're having a contest, and we're going to be giving away two of these radios to two lucky people. All you need to do is, when you go to the homepage, click on the survey for PCJ Radio, and then the final question, you just have to leave your contact details, name, email address, or phone number, or whatever, and we will contact you to let you know when you have won. So do check it out, pcjmedia.com, on the homepage for the PCJ Wi-Fi radio giveaway. It's a fantastic little radio. Well, it's actually not that little. It's rather big. And it's going to bring you many hours of listening pleasure for sure. You can access, well, something like 12,000 radio stations not too long ago. Actually, well, just about an hour ago before coming into the studio to record the show, I was listening to the BBC World Service literally in FM quality. It was like I was literally inside the studio with the announcer. That's how clear it is. So do check it out at pcjmedia.com. Take part in the survey and enter today. If you're on Facebook and want to add PCJ as one of your favorites or of the whatever, join the fan page. Just do a search for PCJ Media. And while you're there, don't be shy about adding me as one of your friends. Just do a search for Keith Perron. That's K-E-I-T-H-P-E-R-R-O-N. All right. Now, what are we going to be doing next? Well, we're going to be going to a place just outside of Taipei. And it's an organization that I have talked about before on the show. Now, I do this, of course, I talk about many different organizations, but this is a very, very special one. Now, we're going to go on a little clip. Let's see if you know what it's all about. Well, that, of course, is dogs. It wouldn't be cat. As you may or may not have remembered, if you haven't tuned in on a weekly basis, there's an organization here in Taiwan that I've talked about a number of times called Animals Taiwan. They're an animal shelter rescue, but very different from other rescues and shelters around the world. I decided to head over there last week as they were in the middle of clearing some space behind their main building to make room for more dogs. And I had a chance to speak with Lisa Milne from Animals Taiwan, and we were talking in the dog area, so if you hear a tremendous amount of barking from time to time, don't worry, it's all part of the atmosphere, and I think they wanted to have their voices known as well. My first question to Lisa was, can she fill us in a little bit first about the history of Animals Taiwan and how it all began?
It was just basically a bunch of people that, you know, just couldn't keep a, you know, turn a blind eye anymore and just decided that, you know, we need to help these animals with what we can. So we started as, you know, one or two foreigners basically started it off and, you know, rescuing and trying to find homes for them and getting in touch with quite a few vets that would help us. And we found quite a few vets that were really accommodating. You know, they would give us very discounted and they would really help us. And then, you know, then we got more locals involved and lots more foreigners involved, and it just built up. And, you know, we rescued the dogs. We've been legal now for just over 4 years. And so now, you know, the government recognizes us so that we're allowed to do events and stuff like that under the law. You know, we can get donations and stuff like that. And so now we have the rescue center and people come here and we can get adoptions much easier than we could when it was just one of us, you know, sitting at a cafe saying, okay, look, we got this dog. Would you like to adopt? Mm-hmm. And so now it's getting much better.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, here in Taiwan, because when I was looking online, there's also a lot of these groups in different parts of the island.
Do you work closely with them at all, or do you pretty much operate separately? Do they not communicate with each other?
No, we really try. Okay, there's in Kaohsiung, there's an organization called BARC. Chris is one of the founders of that, and we try to work with him if we have, you know, maybe two of our dogs are from there. He rescued a lot of dogs from a lady that was keeping hundreds of dogs in a house that has skin problems, so we helped out there. So, you know, if we need transportations, maybe somebody wants to adopt a dog in Taipei and the dog's from Kaohsiung, will help out, and vice versa. And then we got Taichung Paws in Taichung, and Caroline and some others there that we work closely with there, Michael and some others, and we you know, work together as much as possible. We like to keep together as much as possible. There's also Rose Garden, you know, a Taipei organization, more Chinese-based. We really try to work together. Of course, you know, there's always the problem with, you know, they try to get donations, we're trying to get donations, we're all trying to get the same source. So obviously that's a problem, but we do try to help out. You know, recently we've been getting lots of adoptions for small dogs. So we try to help other organizations. Okay, you got a Chihuahua. Okay, we got some contacts. Right. So we definitely try to work together. It's not perfect yet, but we're working on it, working on relationships. Yeah.
Now, you know, the interesting thing about Animals Taiwan, and this is something that I remember at the beginning, in many ways, I don't know if you've ever heard this before, but if we look at some of the dogs, like there's one dog over here, his picture is Norton, he's in this pen, and then there's Sausage and some other ones. These are not just regular dogs. They're very special cases. I mean, a lot of animal shelters and animal rescues, you'll go there and you'll see these dogs. They look like normal dogs, but the dogs here are missing sometimes little bits and pieces. But in many ways, like the one over here standing, whose name I can't see, is that...
That's Molly. Molly.
Well, even though she has one leg missing, she still has a lot of character. It's like they have all these, like, say, pieces of their body missing, but they have so much character that is they look so different.
Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of dogs in Taiwan, unfortunately, get caught in traps. The gin traps, a lot of farmers put them out to prevent dogs getting into their farmland, or they say it's to catch wild pigs or to catch wild civet cats. And so we have to cut their arms or their legs off to the shoulder area, because if we didn't, then they would try to use it, put it on the ground, and it would cause infection, which would go into their bloodstream and stuff like that. But a three-legged dog basically is exactly the same as a four-legged dog. They have the same energy, they have the same love, they have the same everything. The only difference really is they can't walk as far as a four-legged dog because they hop, which puts up their heart rate. So with a four-legged dog, they can't go long distance or run as fast as other dogs. They have to rest in between. Because they're hopping, that means their heart beats faster. If it was a back leg that was missing, then that's not too bad. If it's a front leg, then you have to be careful of their heart. But apart from that, they're just normal dogs with three legs. And they're not like humans. You know, when humans loses a limb or whatever, they feel depressed and, you know, they're not like other people. But dogs don't feel that way. They're just, you know, a normal dog. I just got three legs. I'm perfectly happy and I'm perfectly fine. You know, like, sorry, Norton, you know, he lost the bottom of his jaw due to a car accident, we believe. We're not 100% sure what happened to him, and his legs are all a little bit bent out of shape. But we had a trainer come here to Animals Taiwan, and they were training the dogs, and they used Norton. And he said that Norton was the best dog he'd ever used as an example. Mm-hmm. Norton sat on command, waited on command, everything. He did it first time, and the trainer was completely amazed.
Do you think also that the kind of person that would, let's say, adopt this kind of dog has to be a special person? Because some people would say, you know, I want a dog that looks good. I don't want it to have missing limbs and stuff. Do you ever get that kind of...
Of course we do. I mean, in Taiwan, unfortunately, Taiwan is very materialistic. And they still do like the cute little dogs with bows in their hair and things like that, the kind of purebreds. But it is changing. If you look on the streets now in Taiwan, you have people walking, you know, the Taiwanese black dog, you know, whatever, that's not perfect. It is changing. But they worry. And it takes explanation because they think, okay, you know, his leg is missing. Does that mean that he's going to need more care? Does that mean vet bills are going to be increased? And so they worry about these things. It's all about education. It's all about explaining, like, there's nothing wrong with them. You know, they're perfectly fine, you know?
But I have to say, honestly, I cannot see. There's an area of Taipei, which I've talked about before, called Ximending. Uh-huh. And I can't see these dogs as being accessories. Like, some of the ones at Ximending, it's almost like they're a handbag or something.
Yeah, that is unfortunate. A lot of dogs have been used as accessories. There's a good side and a bad side. Hopefully now more and more people, even though for different lifestyles, I would never personally say you can't have the dog that you want. In Taiwan, people live in small apartments, so small dogs are more, you know, adaptable to that kind of thing. They work long hours, you know, in Taiwan. So I understand that, but we're hoping that more and more people won't go and buy dogs. That they want a small dog, that's fine. But, you know, go to the shelters. Go to Neihu Shelter. Come to Animals Taiwan. Go to Taichung Paws. Go to Bark. Go to all these shelters where there are a lot of small dogs that need homes. You know, we just want people to understand that buying is really not the way to go. It causes more and more problems. Yeah.
Now, the other thing here, like, for the dogs that you get in, what are some of the most severe cases? I mean, you must have cases that other shelters and other vets would not take in. But I've seen dogs here that were told, oh, this dog does not have a chance. But they come here, and it's almost like they go through a recuperating period, and they have to relearn stuff that other people may have just given up on. What are, like, some of the most severe cases?
Well, of course, we've got our wheelchair dogs. I mean, we've got Junior.
Actually, that, I have to say, is quite unique. When I told people, you know, I've seen dogs in Taiwan walking with wheelchairs, they look at me as if there's something wrong, you know.
Yeah, we got Julian, we got Judy, and we've got Skal. All of those have wheelchairs. Basically, car accidents where their back legs have no use anymore. So we sent away, and now we have a wheelchair manufacturer in Taiwan. And he will come out and fit to the size of the dog and help us do that. So we don't have to send away to America anymore. And a lot of vets, yeah, they would say, you know, come on, this dog has, you know, no back legs. He can't stand up anymore. She can't stand up anymore. Put the dog down. And we're like, well, but, you know, he or she is happy. You know, he or she wants to eat. He or she wants to play. So we'll give this dog a chance. And, you know, once they hit that wheelchair, once they get in that wheelchair, they're like Speedy Gonzales. You know, they have full life. They get in that wheelchair and you just see their face light up. You know, they're such, if you meet, you know, Julian and Judy, they want attention. They'll come up to you and, like, you know, bark at you and just try and nuzzle you to try and get attention. We also have one dog that both of its back legs were caught in trap. So, you know, any normal vet would say, come on, now this dog has no back legs, so put a dog down. There's been a complete transformation with this dog. You know, he is now, the fur has grown back beautifully. He stands up by himself. He lifts his bum off the ground so he can move around with or without the wheelchair. And then there's Sugar, who had her back legs taken away. She was adopted. She now lives in France. So we will always give a dog a chance. If the dog shows us that the dog wants to be given a chance, we can see that, and we have vets that will work with us, and so we will do everything that we can to help this cat or dog. We've got two blind cats, and we'll do everything we can to help them.
And that is part one of our conversation with Lisa Milne from Animals Taiwan. We'll have more of that conversation in just a few moments, but first I want to say hello to some people that recently wrote us. We haven't delved into the mailbag for some time. So I thought that we would do it today and next week as well. The first one that we have here is from Dave Marthaus in the USA. And he says he remembers when I was at Radio Havana, Cuba, and he asks a number of questions, like what sort of equipment did they use, etc., etc. Well, first of all, when I was there, they were still using tape. Yes, tape. But not good tape recorders, but these very bad Hungarian-made tape recorders going back to, I think, the 1960s or 70s, which I think spent more time in the engineering department getting fixed than in the studio actually working. That's the first thing for the news. Well, they got everything from old teletype machines. So hopefully that answered just a couple of the questions that you had. And hopefully you will continue in listening to the program. Another one that we have here comes to us from... Here's the name, Luke. Luke Biddle in the USA. He said, I thought I'd drop you a line. As I recently discovered Switzerland in sound, after just discovering that the Happy Station show had been revived by Keith Parent. This is a message that he sent Bob Zanotti. Yes, you're right, Luke. Everything is there. And Luke sent us a recorded message that we will be using on next week's program. And we have one here, which also was directed to Bob Zanotti, from... I can't even figure out the name. He didn't put a name, but he said he enjoys Switzerland in sound and the other programs from PCJ. But he does have his call sign here, which is... no, it isn't here. Okay, well, obviously this didn't turn out the way I thought it would. I'd underlined everything, and then now when I'm looking at it, because we record the show as if we're doing it live, I just went... I think we should have left these for next week. But anyway, thanks to all of you that did write in this week, the ones that we did get to, because some of the printing didn't come out the way I thought it would have. But anyway, I'm just babbling on for no reason. And that was a blooper, of course, that we can use in the new year. Anyway, if you want to get in touch with us, please do. You can find all the contact information at the PCJmedia.com webpage. Time now for more music. Somebody said we don't play enough Elton John on the show, so I thought let's remedy that right now. Here's I Want Love on the International Happy Station.
But it's impossible. A man like me, so irresponsible. A man like me is dead in places. Other men feel liberated. And I can't love, shot full of holes. I just feel cold. Don't feel nothing, just old scars. Toughening up around my heart. But I want love, just a different kind. I want love, won't break me down, won't break me up, won't me in. I want a love that don't mean a thing. That's the love I want. I want love. I want love on mountains. After everything I've ever learned, me, I care too much. Oh man, I've seen so much traffic. But I want love, just a different kind. I want love, won't break me down, won't break me up, won't fence me in. I want love that don't mean a thing. That's the love I want. Stuff.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs, SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.
I'm speaking with Dr. Sigmund Sicki of Sicki Psyche Services about a happiness question on my mind. Dr. Sicki, what's the quickest way to get happy?
Yeah, da happy station.
Let me write that down. Da happy. Oh, and by the way, where can I hear that?
Well, kdxradio.com.
I'm writing.
Well.
You know, something I just realized, and you can't hear it, but for some reason I think this week's show is jinxed. It has to be. You know, just a moment ago we were trying to go through the email and I totally mucked it up. It was all over the place. And when we had that piece of music playing by Elton John, something that we have not heard in a long time started happening again, and that is, for some reason, our equipment is picking up mobile phone conversations in the studio. As you may or may not know, we talked about this a while ago when it happened, and we actually had to stop the recording twice, and it happened again. I don't hear anything in my headphones, but our speakers in the control room are picking up mobile phone conversations again. We checked to see that it was not recording, and it's not recorded, but Kevin right now is nodding up and down that he can still hear that sound. You know, it's odd. And then the third thing that went wrong today is we showed up, and our air conditioning is not working, which is lovely, considering that this room, well, our studio, the door has been closed for a week, and it's been plus 35 degrees outside. And the fourth thing that has gone wrong is we had some electric fans, and somebody stole them. And we can't open the window. Not this window anymore, anyway. Because they changed it, and now for some reason it won't open. So this show is jinxed. It's just jinxed. Yes. Hopefully next week we can get rid of all the spooks that are here and make sure that everything runs smoothly. Very odd. Very odd. I don't know how it sounds where you're listening, but here in the studio it's giving me the heebie-jeebies. Anyway, you're listening to the International Happy Station. Today, my special guest is Lisa Milne from Animals Taiwan. And just a moment ago, she was telling us about Animals Taiwan, how the group began, etc. We now continue with part two of our conversation.
Just a moment ago, you were mentioning that you rescued dogs that were caught in jing traps or were hit by cars or scooters or whatever else. There must be cases where you rescue dogs that their injuries were not from a car or a scooter, but deliberate human activity. Either the dogs were abused or just put into a confined area. Is Animals Taiwan in a position where, when you see a case like that of animal abuse, that you can bring it to local authorities and be able to do something?
Yes, we do. I mean, we've got two cases. One is Frankie. We went to the authorities and we tried to find out. But the trouble is, in Taiwan, people are still in the mind that, you know, it's not my business. So unless we can get witnesses to prove that this person did do what they did to the dog, Frankie was smacked over the head with some heavy object. His head was all split open. And so, you know, we contact the neighbors in the area and ask them, but a lot of them are afraid. A lot of them don't want the trouble. And we try to prosecute, but our main aim is that this dog now goes to a safe and that we warn the person, okay, we can't prove, but we will keep an eye. Also, we have like breeders and things like that. We've gone in, we've got the government to go in and try to close them down or at least prevent them from breeding anymore. We now, because we are a legal organization, we can do that.
Not too long ago, there was a case I remember here in Taiwan that was, it was even difficult to read, about a dog breeder who, to prevent noise from disturbing the neighbors, had the vocal cords of the dogs removed.
Yeah, he had 30, something like 35 dogs, small breed dogs, Chihuahuas, Japanese Chins, small breed dogs. And we got reported by a neighbor, And the neighbor was quite worried that they didn't want their names mentioned because this breeder, his family, owns the buildings. So they were, of course, worried about, you know, being evicted, not having a home. But we went in and we got the government, and the government went in. We managed to take away from him, in total, 17 this time. Last year we took 8. So 20-something dogs we took away from him. And then we got them all rehomed, all neutered, all done. A lot of them had heartworm. Because he kept them
That's a common problem here in Taiwan.
Yeah, he kept them all in his back garden with, you know, big tubs of water all around. So, you know, it's a breeding ground for mosquitoes, which causes heartworm. We got them all, you know, medicated for the heartworm and everything like that, and found them all homes. And we told the government, like, we couldn't prove that he was breeding to sell. He actually said to us, you know, when a female dog comes into heat, she gets agitated. So what I do sometimes is put a male in there to calm her down. And accidentally, she becomes pregnant.
Accidentally. That's like, oh, we went to a drive-in movie and she accidentally got pregnant.
Right. You know, so, you know, it's like, okay. And then, you know, I said, but you're selling them. He goes, no, I don't sell them. I give them to people and they give me red envelopes. And I'm like, well, what's in the red envelope? Oh, well, you know, they give me a little bit of money. Well, that's basically selling then, you know. You're just not marking up a price, you know. You're not putting it out there. So the government is still watching him. He has been told that he's not allowed to have more than 10 dogs. We have neighbors in the area that keep in touch with us, and so that we can keep monitoring the area. As soon as we know anything's, you know, amiss, then we will tell the government to go straight back in again. Yeah. So, you know, it is a major problem, but things are getting better. I feel a lot of Taiwanese people are more and more wanting to adopt.
You know, let's just walk this way a little bit, because I need to describe the sort of area that you're in. You're not exactly in Taipei City. You're outside the area. Actually, it's quite, you know, we were just talking about this a moment ago. The house or the building that you're using, actually, I wouldn't mind living here.
It's actually two houses.
Yeah. And then you have a yard area with the different pens. And I know that from being here previously that you divide the dogs up for their personalities, because you don't want to put weaker dogs with stronger dogs.
Right.
Do you ever have a problem sometimes with dogs getting into fights? And how does the staff deal with it? Because sometimes people are afraid. They say, oh, you're so brave. They're afraid to go near dogs that are you know, angry and...
Yeah, of course. I mean, dogs as well as people. You know, you get on with certain people and you don't get on with other people. And dogs are exactly the same. And within any kind of pack, there's going to be a leader. We try our hardest for us, the volunteers, for us, the staff, to be the pack leaders so that they know their place. But of course, you still got to match personalities. Certain dogs don't get on with other dogs. So we try to find out which ones get on. If we see any problems, if we see, you know, maybe a dog's got a little nick or something like that, then we will watch that pack closely and then maybe move that dog to another area. Unfortunately, Koala at the moment has this problem. He was brought to us as a puppy, covered in ticks and lice and fleas. I mean, head to toe. You couldn't see he was a dog. It was disgusting.
It was a flea farm.
He was, you know, a tiny little, you know, handful of disgusting stuff. And his eye was completely infected. So he's lost the vision in one eye. But recently, he's turned quite nasty against other dogs. So we've had to keep him separate. We try to give him more exercise and hopefully try to calm him down and train him so hopefully he can get on with other dogs.
That's really just a case of the dog being socialized.
Yes.
and put into an environment, because some people will say, you know, oh, you know, you can't put this kind of dog together because they will fight. Actually, it depends what they were exposed to. I mean, any dog can be... Can be socialized,
right.
And you know, something, of course, that, like, in many countries around the world, people complain about the pit bull. Now, you know, my feeling is, okay, maybe genetically the pit bull has a certain personality, but quite often these attacks are because the owners have done something to make the dog like this.
Yeah, and also, it's, you know, dogs feel our personalities, feel our fear, feel our emotions a lot more than we realize. So when we're afraid of a dog, when we show weakness around a dog, that dog will suddenly go, hold on a minute, why is this person scared? Mm-hmm. And they don't understand why. So then they're like, well, maybe there's danger. If there's danger, I need to protect myself. And so then the dog will turn aggressive. Not necessarily because they feel you're going to hurt them. They just feel your fear and then starting to wonder, okay, what's going to happen? Mm-hmm. And that's where the problem starts. You have to be confident and you have to be calm around animals, especially this many animals. Yeah.
Now, a while ago, you were talking about dogs that you send overseas. Is this something that is quite common? And is how many do you get a lot of requests from overseas for these dogs?
We don't. Animals Taiwan is not actually an organization where we say we want to send animals overseas. We believe that Taiwan needs to sort Taiwan's problem out. We don't believe, because in America, in England, in other countries, they're putting down dogs, you know, thousands a year, more than that. So we don't believe us sending dogs to that country is a good thing, because we're adding to the problem. Every dog that we send there, one of their dogs will go to sleep. So if somebody here adopts a dog and they're going back to their country, we will help out with everything we can. Recently, we're sending dogs abroad. I found 6 puppies, and a friend of mine in Canada who originally was in Taiwan, she adopted Taiwanese dogs. She has a affiliate with Taiwanese dogs. She's lived here for a lot of years. She wants to help these dogs. And I'm being a little bit selfish. I want to help these puppies that have nowhere to go. And so she's taken 3 of them. And then a lady in England who adopted a dog from us before moved back to England. Her parents have been following our organization and have fallen in love with Puppet and Mushroom. Right. And so they want to adopt. These are special cases. So we will agree. We know the people. We know who the dogs are going to. But we won't necessarily, like, if somebody... We've had emails from people from the Netherlands, from America, saying, hey, I've seen your dog online. Can you send it to me? We don't know you. We have no way of checking your background. We have no way of checking your home. So, unfortunately, we can't do that.
But let's say it's somebody that has come here to visit. Maybe they're even just here for a few months. They say, you know, I want to adopt one to bring back home. That you can help them with.
We can help them with. We would still ask them to know, where do you live? You know, what kind of environment? Can you pay for the bills? You know, and also for the shipping and stuff like that, we do ask them to either pay all or at least half. So we do ask them to pay, you know, to help, because we couldn't afford. I mean, to go to England, it costs around about $50,000 per dog. Mm-hmm. You know, Canada and America is a lot cheaper, but, you know, to go to Europe is quite expensive. We can't justify $50,000 on one dog. That $50,000 could help, you know, about, you know, 10, 20 other dogs.
Right. Now, something else that is very unique about Animals Taiwan that is very different from a lot of other countries. You know, we mentioned earlier, there are animal shelters and animal rescues in many other countries. But one of the sad things that does happen quite frequently, either because of, most likely because of lack of space, is sometimes dogs, after all, have to be put down. But not here at Animals Taiwan.
No. We do not put any dogs down unless they are in a lot of pain. You know, they're not eating. They're showing us that they want to go. Then we will help them go. But apart from that, no. You know, we don't mind if they have 2 legs or 3 legs or 1 eye or no eyes. You know, if they have the will to live, we will give them every chance we have, and we will try to find them a good home.
That is very unusual, because even like big rescues in the UK, like the RSPCA or the SPCA in Canada, or even one in the Netherlands and in Germany, after usually if they find a dog after maybe 3 weeks, at the most sometimes, they will put the dog down. Especially, but they said that's mainly older dogs, because it's easier to find adoptions for puppies than it is for older dogs. But here you don't do that at all.
No, we believe, you know, we have a non-kill policy. You know, that's basically what we have. That means that we have only space for around about 65 dogs to 70 dogs. So that limits us to the amount of animals that we can help. But we do help people, you know, if they find dogs, we give them advice on how to find adoptions, how to advertise, you know, this dog that you found. And we try to do the best that we can to help them. So we're limited by the number we can. Hopefully in the future, when we find a bigger place to have a bigger rescue center, we can help more and more. But we will stick to our policy of a non-kill shelter. Yeah, that is one of our first and foremost goals.
And that was Lisa Milne from Animals Taiwan. If you want more information or find out how you can make a donation, just go to their website, which is www.animalstaiwan, all one word, .org. That's www.animalstaiwan.org. And when it brings you to the homepage, you'll see a link for English and Chinese. So do go and check them out. And if you didn't have time to check that out from the email or the website that I just gave out, just go to our own homepage, pcjmedia.com. Time for music. Here's Louis Prima with Closer to the Bone on the International Happy Station.
Close to the bone. Sweeter is the meat. Last slice of Virginia ham is the best that you can eat. Don't talk about my baby. She's slender, but she's sweet. Close to the bone, and sweeter is the meat. Now she'd make a good thermometer if she drank a glass of wine. She's built just like a garter snake. She climbs up like a vine. My friends tell me I'm a fool to love a gal like that. Here's the reason I like 'em slim instead of big and fat. 'Cause closest to the bone, sweeter is the meat. The last slice of Virginia ham is the best that you can eat. Now don't talk about my baby. She's slender, but she's sweet. Closest to the bone. And sweeter is the meat. Yeah, let's go. First-class fountain pen if she only knew how to write. Her figure's like a piece of string. She rolls up every night. Everybody thinks that I'm a nut to love this lovely worm. Boy, there's one reason I like them slim instead of round and firm. 'Cause closest to the bone, sweeter is the meat. Last slice of Virginia ham is the best that you can eat. Now don't you talk about my baby. She's slender but she's sweet. Closest to the bone. Sweet. I got another one now. Listen here. She'd make a fine piccolo if she only stayed on key. Boy, she's shaped like a rubber band and she loves to snap at me. Everybody thinks I'm insane to overlook her faults. But here's the reason I like them skinny instead of full of schmaltz. 'Cause closest to the bone, sweeter is the meat. Last slice of Virginia ham is the best that you
Louis Prima and Closer to the Bone, ending this week's edition of the International Happy Station. Oh, I'm kind of finally happy that it's over to get out of this weird environment that we're in today. And hopefully next week we'll have everything fixed and it won't be so creepy. I'm serious. If you were here in the studio with us, you would understand what we're feeling right now. It's just very odd. I it could also be maybe because our air conditioning is down and it's extremely hot right here in this room right now. Just the heat from the equipment alone, which we've had on for maybe the past 90 minutes, has put the temperature in this room up by, well, it's like 38 now. It's very disgusting. Anyway, that's it. That's all we have time for. On behalf of our production assistant, Johan Backer, our technician, Kevin Lee, this is Keith Perron all the way in Taipei, Taiwan, saying so long, au revoir, auf Wiedersehen, adios amigos, and sayonara.